the FGO. She visits us once in the evening every month or so, and we get a chance to sit down, kind of elongate the subjects that she brings us, and also take your pet concerns, your calls at 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. Your pet chewing your shoes? Give us a call. We'll work it out.
Nice try.
I kind of teased because you had that happen today, huh?
Well, yeah, I did. And I always hate admitting these episodes where my own dogs are bad dogs, but occasionally it does happen. Very, very rarely, but it does happen.
Uh-huh.
So this morning I woke up for you, just for you, Bob, I'll tell this story.
Okay.
I woke up a little bit late, just a little bit. And so I was in a rush and I left the mudroom door open on my way to the gym. I ran out the door, left the mudroom door open, and there are shoes in my mudroom. And my dog, Doobie, picked out the most expensive pair of sandals that I own and chewed them into bits.
Ooh.
And this is the second time he's done that. And I was livid. When I got home, I was like, no. And so Doobie got a verbal thrashing this morning. And I went to work and I was a little bit hoarse. But I've since recovered, and so on with the show tonight.
Do you think he'll remember that, though? They say you can't scold a dog after people say you can't scold a dog, you know, more than a minute after they've done it. Otherwise, they don't know what
well,
you're talking about.
It made me feel better.
Okay. Let's hit our subjects here. By the way, once again, the phone number is 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346.
Rodenticides
for those of us who are really know what you're talking about.
I was going to say more literate, but I didn't mean that.
No, you're probably right.
Is this for people who don't like rhododendrons?
Exactly, Scott. You're right on the nail there.
All right. We got different various types, and which one you want to start out with?
Right. Right. So there are anticoagulants, mm-hmm. rodenticides, and there are two different types of anticoagulants, and there are first generation and there are second generation. And by the way, the reason I'm going over this is because we're starting to see more rodenticide toxicities in the summertime and going into fall. So,
which means actually what?
They're rat bait, mouse bait that you put out to kill rodents.
Hence rodenticides.
Right, right. Okay. Right. So the first generation, the most common we see are the anticoagulants, the first generation Coumarin, Warfarin. Those are really short-acting rodenticides, and they take multiple feedings for the rodents to get killed. And these are the anticoagulant rodenticides that I actually, if you're going to put down a rodenticide, this is what I would prefer people use. There are second generations like Brodificum. They're biologically longer-acting, and one single feeding is lethal. And the EPA has started out by regulating these because they're seeing deaths of scavenger and prey species. So they're trying to protect those species that come in and eat dead carcasses of mice or whatever and might get themselves poisoned.
Okay, so it might not necessarily be the food itself, but eating the carcass.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
So these rodenticides cause bleeding issues. So the blood can't clot and therefore the animals bleed out. And nicely enough, these rodenticides have an antidote, which is vitamin K. We can give vitamin K very readily, orally, and it works well.
Okay.
So problem solved.
So that is the big problem, finding the animals, because usually you hide the food in different corners, let's say, and usually your dog or cat wouldn't go back there, right? Is it the fact that you've seen the...
Right. So, for example, kitties that are outside, uh-huh. if you have a second generation rodenticide or anticoagulant rodenticide, if they eat the mouse that ate the rat poison, they're susceptible to poisoning themselves.
Okay.
So you have to be really careful, and that falls into, you know, when we talk later on about what to do if your pet, or to help prevent your pet's exposure, picking up those little corpses is key. Okay. So,
how about the toxicity of some of these?
So toxicity, again, is bleeding. Okay. And I'm glad you're here to remind me, Bob.
Okay. All right.
So, and then another rodenticide is bromethalin. And with the EPA's regulation of some of the anticoagulant rodenticides, we're seeing more bromethalin. And Bromethalin causes neurotoxicity, or it affects the nerves and it can cause seizures, tremors, stumbling, that kind of thing. And there is no antidote to this rodenticide. So it's a little bit scarier. And again, that's why I push people, if you're going to use a rodenticide, I don't recommend it. But if you're going to use one, just go ahead and use a first generation anticoagulant.
By the way, can you tell by just reading the box of these particular items? Because I'm sure, like me right now, I'm saying I don't recognize a couple of these names.
You recognize Decon.
Yeah,
or,
read Decon, right.
Yeah. So basically, each brand name puts out different different active ingredients. So you always have to look at the back of the package and read the active ingredient. It's important, especially when you're calling your veterinarian.
Okay, let's go to number C here. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it.
So cholecalciferol is vitamin D, and it causes fluctuations in calcium, and it causes kidney failure, essentially, is what it causes. So, and it mineralizes the kidneys. It can mineralize the heart. It can mineralize blood vessels. There's a lot of different, sequela to ingesting cholecalciferol. But there's no antidote to this either. So basically, it's just supportive care if your pet gets into it.
If the animal comes in, is it difficult to find which one?
It can be.
Okay.
Vitamin K, or the anticoagulants, are so easy to diagnose because all you have to do is run clotting tests. And if they're elevated, pretty well, even if the owner is uncertain what happened, we have an idea of what's going on.
Okay. We've got a phone call here. Once again, 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. And Julie from Fargo is on the line with us right now here at KFGO. Hi, Julie. You're on with Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital.
Hi, Dr. Winning.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm really good. I have a question about barn cats.
Yes.
So vet expenses for your regular house pet, you can kind of stomach those. They're okay. You have a couple cats.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into the barn cats and you have a couple of litters of kittens, or somebody drops off a cat with a litter of kittens, you kind of price yourself right out of getting that same vet care that you would do for, like, your house cat.
Right.
What do you recommend people do for, like, spaying, neutering, or even just checkups and vaccines and general well-being?
Most people that want to take care of their barn cats properly are going to have them spayed or neutered and get the basic vaccinations. Rabies vaccine is really important. There are a lot of rural practices that that provide these services at a little bit lower cost than, the metropolitan veterinary clinics, just because they recognize the fact that there are barn cats. And there are also charities that will go ahead and have reduced cost spay and neuter programs. So it's important to get the word out that, there are options available for those kitties out there that keep reproducing like crazy.
Julie, how many kitties are we talking about in your case?
Probably like 10.
10? Okay.
Yeah. And it's, one cat has a litter of 6 kittens, which leads to each cat having more litters. And so it gets out of control really very rapidly. Okay. So thanks, Julie, for that question.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Julie. Our phone numbers again, 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. I tell you what, when we come back, let's talk what do we do if our pet comes into contact with a rodenticide in just a moment here on KFGO. Yeah, the old stray kitty cat strut there. Very good. This is the Mighty 790 KFGO. Bob Harris here along with Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. The vet is in tonight. We'll talk more about rodenticides in just a couple of moments. I goofed again, didn't I?
No, you did a fine job.
Did I get it that time? Okay. Let's go to Kindred, where Pam is standing by. Oh, who knows? She might be sitting down by the phone, and she's here to talk with Dr. Winning. Go ahead, Pam. Good evening. Okay, Pam, here. Okay, let's put her on just one second. Pam, you have to turn down your radio and listen to the telephone because we're on what they call that 7-second delay. So we'll give you a shot again. Pam, are you there? She was there. Pam?
You scared her off by ordering her around.
Bob's a scary guy.
Thanks a lot, guys.
I'm scared just sitting here.
Thanks a lot, guys. Pam, call back if you don't mind, but listen to the phone, not on the radio. Okay. All right. What do we do now if we suspect that our pet has come into contact with a rodenticide?
So just like we talked about, you're going to want to collect the information about the rodenticide, not just the brand name, but the active ingredient, and try to figure out how much your dog ingested or cat, and then when did they ingest it? You know, within a reasonable period of time, we can make them vomit. And so the vet is going to definitely want to know when the ingestion occurred. And then just call your veterinarian, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to help you and make the determination. Some rodenticides that we haven't covered tonight, you don't want to make your pet vomit. So it's important that you call your veterinarian and they can guide you as far as what to do. And then obviously you're probably going to want to come in.
That's interesting, though, to say that it's really starting to pick up. I mean, that must mean that we've got a pretty good rodent population out there. Then,
right.
Huh?
What the other thing is, most often, owners don't know that their pets have gotten into rodenticide when they call. And or when they come in, especially with like anticoagulant rodenticides, their dog will be lethargic and you may not see the bleeding from the gums or anywhere else. It might be internal bleeding and you have no idea and you just have a lethargic pet.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if there's any question, it's so important to seek medical care right away.
Okay. 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. David is coming up next here on KFGO, and David has a question for the vet, Dr. Doreen Winning. Go ahead, David.
Yes, we have a approximately 14-year-old Manx. It does have a tail. Usually I know Manx don't, but ours is kind of a gray tabby. Sometime last week, we just noticed it one night, her right eye, the pupil part is just huge, and the other side is normal, like the regular cat's eye slit. And I'm doing some research. I'm full of something called a scoria.
Anisocoria is the...
That's what it is. Okay.
Yep, is the medical name for that. And there
is
are...
Is that because you've got a tumor or what?
You know, how old is your cat, did you say?
About 14.
Yeah. So it's possible. There are many different causes of anisocoria, and it's important to seek medical attention for that because some of the causes can be quite serious. So... definitely have your vet take a look. They can look inside.
She hasn't changed at all. Or she eats the same. I mean, everything's the same. She's still playful and
you know,
she doesn't bump around.
Right. And one thing about cats, they're so good at hiding diseases and illnesses.
So okay. She
may be sick and you don't even know it. And this is your one chance. This is your red flag to get her in.
Pick up a blood test, you think?
You can. It depends on the cause. So the first thing is to do an exam of the eye. So your vet can do that and then make recommendations based on what they're seeing in the eye. Sometimes we want to do blood work. In fact, usually for senior cats, I like to do that once a year anyway. So,
yeah.
So okay. There's, call your vet.
Okay. I will get an appointment.
Thank you very much, David. Appreciate your
call.
We have Jen next from Fargo. Hi, Jen. You're on KFGO and the vet is in.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a miniature poodle who is just over a year old, and about 6 or 7 weeks ago at the groomer, he got nicked, I think, on his cheek, and he's had a hot spot there ever since that's just not going away. We did antibiotics for 10 days. I'm just wondering what the next course of action would be. Would it be looking to see if he has a food allergy?
It's possible that there's an underlying allergy that, you know, the nick may have set it off. And by the way, grooming pets is hard, and stuff like that happens. We can nick with surgical clips too. So it's possible that an underlying allergy exacerbated the situation.
Sure.
And so, yeah, I mean, sometimes I will start them on prednisone too, depending on the overall health picture of the pet. So prednisone,
is that just an oral thing or is it a shot?
Oral usually.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, the important thing is continuity of care and talking to your veterinarian. You know, this didn't work. What can we do now in working with them to figure out a course of action from here on out?
Yeah, the poor guy's been in a cone for almost 2 months now. So.
Yeah, I hate those cones, too.
I hate them, too.
Yeah, they're just bad news.
I have one other question. I saw there's like a donut-style cone that a person can get.
Yep.
Is Is that very useful on a small dog like a miniature poodle? I figured he would kind of just bend around it and still be able to scratch.
Some dogs can get around them, some can't. And you almost, it's one of those circumstances where you just need to try it and see.
Sure.
But okay. It's a lot easier for them to, you know, sleep and to eat with the donut ones.
Okay, I will give that a shot and check that out. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. Appreciate your call. We're going to take another break here. Twins baseball coming up at 20 before the hour, and we'll talk more about this rodent population, plus your phone calls with Dr. Doreen Winning in just a moment here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. That's right. The Vet is in on the Here Is Happening here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Dr. Doreen Winning from the Valley Veterinary Hospital. We never cease to amaze you here, do we?
No, you never. The fun never stops.
Scott has he's got the. He does the magician when it comes to the music.
Thank you so much, Scott.
You are quite welcome. I got a million of them.
237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. We have just a few more minutes, and if you'd like to call and get in and chat with the doctor, please do so. And we'll give you a phone number and also the website address for the Veterinary Hospital as well in just a couple of moments. Controlling the rodent population. So instead of having your animals eat their poison or meant for somebody else, how do we control those bugs?
Right. So anytime you have even a hole in your house, into your house, the size of like a pencil, mice can squeeze through most anything. So block access points, keeping in mind what small openings mice can get through. And then store pets' food or other animal food in sealed bins. Bins that seal tightly. So, for example, you would never, ever want to consider storing an open bag of bird food in your basement. That would be a bad idea.
Bad news, yes.
And then as far as which rodenticides, if you're going to use one, you'd want to use ones that have bait stations, and most of them come with bait stations now, where they're secure from pets. Or, you know, I shouldn't say completely secure from pets, because some dogs can chew through anything, mm-hmm. but they're in a protective package.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they come in like little long
houses.
Yeah, little square houses, and then the mice has to go through in each side in order to get to it.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah? What?
I'm sorry, Bob.
You're just too, little square
you're
blocks.
Too much fun to tease. It's about just a problem.
It was about a 2x2 little tunnel block, mm-hmm. and... So that's what we're talking
yep,
about.
That's what we're talking about, Bob.
We only got 4 minutes to go this show. Okay. Anyway, so, and of course, another good thing, too, is this. Like, for example, we used to put the rodenticides inside the garage because that's where we thought they were all coming in from.
Yeah.
And you just don't let the dog out there.
Right. Yeah. And I have to say, on my farm, I do not tolerate any rodenticides at all. And so if I get overrun by mice, I guess I'm just going to have to get overrun by mice, because I just don't want to deal with the rodenticide issue. But
or we can call Julie and she can bring over some cats.
She could bring her cats. That's right. Julie could bring her cats. I know Julie, and she's a good gal. And yes, she would probably help me out with that.
If we are suspicious, is there something on hand that we could give our dog if we know exactly what the what he may have eaten?
I would call your veterinarian first,
okay.
because again, there are some rodenticides, and we didn't cover them tonight, but there are some that you do not want to make your dog vomit. And so you just have to be careful. And I didn't cover those because they're not very common. I haven't ever seen them, but they're out there.
Okay.
So just be careful. Call your veterinarian. Some people try to make their dogs vomit right away, but again, remember, it's not always indicated.
So if you've got something that's been sitting around for a couple, 3 years, and all of a sudden you decided you found a mouse, is it better to use that or go get some fresh stuff?
Well, now, just thinking about this for a minute, what about a mouse trap? You know, the snap traps?
Right.
I've got those out at my farm. There's ones called Jaws, and they kill them right away. It's a good death for a mouse. It just kills them right away. It snaps them. So those are good traps.
Wait a minute now. You hate ticks, but you don't mind seeing You don't mind seeing the mice get killed. Huh?
As long as it's a quick death and nobody suffers, we're all okay with that. So I don't use glue traps either, by the way.
I tell you what, though, when you hear a mouse being, you know,
snapped
and they are still alive.
Yeah, that's
and
nasty.
Crying in pain.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Oh, man. And I never touch the traps with a mouse in them. Seriously,
Bob,
I always,
come on.
No, I mean, I always like take a needle nose plier and I pick up the end and I take it out and put it in the garbage. I will not touch it.
You don't want a little mousey to suffer.
No. That's... Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, good.
Believe me, he's gone.
Yeah.
If he's still in pain, I will put him in a paper sack and go bang. And
done deal.
It's a done deal. He's seen his better days. All right. We're a minute away. We better go through some of the things here. The Valley Veterinary Hospital is located right there on Main Avenue.
It is. It's on 3210 Main Avenue.
3210.
Our phone number is 232-3391.
Okay.
And our website address is valleyveterinary.net.
Okay. And you should like them on Facebook because you really put out, is it Erin still?
Erin
puts out some really interesting little tidbits every
once
does. In a while.
She does. She's really good. And she works hard on that website.
Yeah. She does a great job, a great job.
Or Facebook, too. She takes care of Facebook, too. So we're all happy with Erin.
By the way, with 30 seconds, did you like the little dachshund fireman?
I loved that. In fact, that went viral around our clinic. And everybody, for I don't know how long that day, there was no work done at Valley Vet. We were all watching the dachshund fireman video.
It was, and it's so short, too. I mean, it was only a few seconds
awesome.
Long. It was really interesting. All right. Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Doreen Whitting. And that's going to wrap it up here tonight on KFGO. Stick around, folks. Minnesota Twins baseball coming up next.